It was quite interesting to read some of the news coverage that's come out so far. And importantly, it has gotten quite a bit of news coverage, which means this has real potential to embarrass the Taliban, both domestically but also internationally, which I would posit raises the risk that they will need to do something to show that they are still in a position of strength, because this is especially damaging for them, right, to have been bested by a woman. And personally, I don't see anything wrong with that. But from their, given their view of gender norms, that's especially embarrassing from their perspective. So I think it's likely that we will see an increase in attacks against either the local population in that village or surrounding areas to demonstrate that the Taliban's continued dominance, especially after villagers then stood up to the Taliban following the attack on that woman and her family, or possibly just an increased use of brutality against women throughout Afghanistan in order to discourage other women for standing up for their rights and potentially challenging the Taliban, given their far less than in well-informed views towards women in society.
In your opinion, what are the Taliban capable of?
Absolutely. So that's a great question, and I think their capabilities are extremely high, unfortunately. First off, the Taliban today controls more territory, that is, more of the country, than at any point following the 2001 intervention by U.S. and coalition forces, right? They are absolutely in a position of strength in terms of territorial control, but also in terms of the successful, from their perspective, negotiations that have led to a U.S. withdrawal that's currently ongoing. So their strength and their resources are extremely high. Their freedom of maneuver to do what they want in the large portions of Afghanistan that they control is also quite high, right? They do not have U.S. forces or coalition forces in nearly the same number to stand up for the local populations or challenge them. And the level of brutality that they're willing to use has been documented and hasn't over decades and hasn't really changed, but that just adds fuel to the fire. We can expect more brutal attacks against women in particular, right? They've used acid to throw acid on the face of girls going to school and things of that sort. So the response is not only highly likely to be effectual, it's highly likely to use tactics that are quite brutal in nature.
Where do they get their funding and their support from?
So this is a mix. There's quite a big mix here. And I think a lot of folks focus in on foreign funding sources, and Pakistan, Russia, Gulf countries have all been accused of either officially providing support and or having some of their wealthy citizens provide support. Do I have concrete evidence of this? For the most part, no. Although in certain examples, yes, there is real evidence of, say, Pakistani ISI, the Pakistani Intelligence Service support to the Taliban. But I'm pretty confident that is happening. That said, that is just one function of the support. I think media makes a lot of focus on the taxes that they impose on illegal opium poppy cultivation, right, from drug trafficking. And that's consequential as well. But I think the third source of support that's major, that is often overlooked, is the local population. They, since they now control a huge swath of territory, they are able to function as if they were the state and impose taxes. So average Afghans have no choice but to pay taxes to their Taliban overlords, if you will, in order to survive, just as we as American citizens, for example, pay taxes to the U.S. government due to a legal requirement. Okay, so the requirement's a bit different, but the mechanism is very similar. And I think that often gets overlooked and is, if not the largest, one of the largest sources of their income. There's also more minor activities. For example, there is some small-scale mining going on in areas that the Taliban control, and there's pretty good evidence that the truck drivers who move the ore out pay a tax to the Taliban to not be attacked. And there are taxes like that at various phases of illicit economic production throughout a variety of industries as well. So it's a pretty complex funding network, but it's a pretty substantial funding network. And then the final point I'll make there is that as their control of the country increases, the potential base for taxes or for extortion or for opium poppy cultivation increases as well. So as they get strong, so it's a self-licking ice cream cone. It's self-reinforcing, if that makes sense.
Dr. Barnett Coven, counterterrorism lead researcher at the START program at the University of Maryland. J.J. Green, WTOP News.